Hi, lovies. It's Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC here on Universal Spirit Podcast. And I did not anticipate the Magic series having more than 22 episodes, but I had to give you this one because we do, in fact, sell haunted dolls. So we are going to talk about the magic of dolls in general. So we're going to have to imply that they're haunted at this time, only because dolls in general have their own magic in them, such as puppets, poppets, what would be described today as a voodoo doll or a hoodoo doll or a hoodoo puppet in regards to sympathetic magic. That's when a doll or poppet is created in order to place a spell on someone or take a spell away from someone. But I really want to talk about, like, you know, toy dolls, you know, porcelain dolls, collector's items, and as to why people might feel that they are haunted, or how do they even become that way, and why do we think of them that way? Because some people could see a doll and say, oh, there's no possible way. However, there are other, you know, scientific and historical, you know, articles and evidence and stories and all kinds of other, you know, paranormal experiences that include dolls. Now, culturally in the United States, when we think about, you know, toys coming to life, we think of Toy Story, right? Or Labyrinth, or for those who are very, you know, familiar with Sesame Street and the Muppets, right? So it does turn out that the word moppet is an ancient word meaning vessel or poppet, meaning something to be possessed, right? Like an empty case, so to speak. But they were in fact designed after living things such as animals and people. And the reason why I mentioned Toy Story is because, like I said, the United States is the most popular, you know, entertainment that we have in regards to toys coming to life. But, you know, mostly it's dolls and action figures and, yes, some animals. But the thought of inanimate objects having voices, feelings, and being able to move is not a very far-fetched thing to experience in this particular dimension or in this life or in this very vast, you know, paranormal universe that we live in. Now, I have all of my references cited below, and you can go check out all of those articles and all of my sources. Now, the reason why dolls would be considered haunted, and the word haunted is usually associated with something negative or evil, is because the scientific fact of when we all pass away, right, when we all die and leave our bodies, we lose that generic 6 ounces that scientists always seem to notice, and that is our spirit body, our soul, our life force. Okay, and the core of who we are, whether it be good or evil, is going to continue with that form, that spirit body, right? Because people who were evil in their life are gonna be evil in their afterlife, right? And vice versa, people who are very good and honest and helpful and, you know, supportive are gonna be that way in their afterlife. And haunted objects, just like haunted dolls, can also possess a very loving and caring, you know, energy around them that does bring miracles and bring, you know, relief and happiness and all that. But on the flip side, when we hear the word haunted, we assume that the doll is going to be evil, you know, and like I said, evil entities are going to be evil no matter where they are. And the most common haunting, if it's not a home, it is in fact an inanimate object such as a doll. And you're probably wondering, why dolls? Well, the thing is, when you live this life, this physical life that we're living, we are used to, you know, remembering our physical human body, right? Having hands, legs, arms, you know, and all that, right? So a doll usually, most likely, will have all those things that resemble a basic human body. So in order to inhabit the doll would be almost like inhabiting another actual body. And yes, they have seen haunted dolls actually physically move, because it's moving with the parts that the entity was used to moving while they were alive. They're used to moving two legs and arms and eyes and stuff like that. So they just possess a vessel that really resembles them. And some have begged the question in regards to gender. So I do have haunted dolls for sale currently in my shop, Egon and Matilda, that kind of do like a gender role switch while they're alive. But people do ask the question, you know, if the soul of a man goes into a girl doll, will it act the same, or will it haunt the same, or whichever? And I know this is going to ruffle a lot of feathers, but I'm going to tell you right now, gender literally plays no part in the afterlife. It does not play a part. We are just energy. Okay, we are just energy. So yes, a male spirit can inhabit a female doll and vice versa. Okay, there really is no point in trying to argue that at that point, because gender doesn't matter after death. It technically doesn't matter in life. That's a whole nother podcast. Now, when it comes to these entities inhabiting these dolls, people wonder, is this intentional? Does the entity do it themselves? Does somebody do it to them? You know, is it willing? Is it unwilling? And the answer is yes to all. It depends on the situation. When it comes to, you know, benevolent entities that are looking to, you know, stay around a family member, usually, you know, it will be a doll that is haunted with good energy, loving energy. And it's usually like either a toy that a new generation is playing with so they can stay close to them. And that's kind of how they keep their energy around, if you were, you know, generally unconscious of how that world works. Then there are people who are magical practitioners, witches, psychics, mediums, who are conscious of that world. And yes, there have been recordings and instances where people's souls have in fact been purposely, intentionally trapped in dolls. Okay, this is usually for hoodoo spell work, really, really high level voodoo, high level witchcraft. When you're working with vessels, even physical body dousing, right? Everyone has watched the movie, you know, The Skeleton Key, of body swapping. It's almost like you're body swapping, but you're body swapping into a body that doesn't quite have a mind of its own. And people who, you know, either make dolls that look like their relatives, kind of embody the energies and the good feelings that are associated with it. So it is kind of like taking a piece of their energy and placing it into an inanimate object. But when you give the inanimate object attention and affection, and you talk to it and you're carrying around, you're giving it energy, you're giving it life, especially when you give it a name, right? Especially if you give it the same name of the person that has passed away, or you give it a name that is a nickname or something that is special to the person, you're giving it a life. It is now alive, right? So that's why there's a lot of folklore around some people who don't give their, you know, their children, you know, doll looking toys, especially because they're going to name them, and they believe that naming them then brings them alive, and then they really believe that there are, you know, toys running around their children's room just full of these random entities like in Toy Story. Okay, and for those who are still kind of skeptical about haunted dolls, especially the ones that move around, think about it this way. There have been sightings and evidence and hauntings of entities without form slamming doors, you know, banging on walls, moving furniture. So if they're able to do that with just their energy form, right, being formless, just imagine what they can do when they are in a definitive form, such as a doll, right, with very conscious, you know, walking legs and moving arms. Just in case the skeptics were still kind of hanging around, that's for you. And just like lucky charms and talismans that are used in magic that are intentional for specific purposes, it is not uncommon to relate situations and occurrences, you know, to a source. Like, you notice that, you know, maybe this particular thing happens whenever this doll is around or when this object is around, right? People have haunted bunk beds before. So it's no different than that bunk bed then being carved up into a doll. You know, it's made from the same haunted wood. The energy still lives on, just as an example, okay? Because we most of the time don't know where a lot of the stuff that we purchase even comes from. Right, so it's kind of like we are really taking a chance every time we do purchase something from the store, you know, if it came from a factory, and sometimes, you know, hand-me-down things, second-hand things. For instance, a doll that was crafted back in the 1700s, yes, there are dolls that are still around from that time, have seen the world change, and obviously it was a different type of world when that doll was created, right? So there's still energy of that time on that object, and also who created the doll and what was the purpose for it. What kind of person were they? You know, were they a good person? You know, were they negative? Were they into some stuff that, you know, wasn't, you know, very kosher? You know, it all depends on these things. That's why in magic it is very important for us to really make our own stuff, because we know our energy better than anyone, and we, you know, we trust our energy better than anybody else's. But people do link strange occurrences to dolls, and people will say things like, oh, I think that doll is watching me, or I think that doll can read my mind, or, you know, you have certain thoughts and then somehow, you know, that doll is right next to you, you know, or you just notice that you feel different, and it's energy is affecting your energy because it is still alive. Go check out my haunted dolls on karmazeyepsychic.com in the shop in our paranormal collection. Yeah, I think you'll like them. And they are more than just their stories. There's an entire person and experience behind all of those dolls, and the times that they were discovered. My favorite / least favorite is Cecile, the Haunted Menace. She's the first one I posted, and that entire story about Cecile is true. I don't know where she came from. She just ended up in my stuff. And I'm not going to lie, since I have taken her out of my home has been much more peaceful ever since. These, you know, dolls can communicate, you know, through our dreams, through our thoughts, you know, even just through our feelings and just how we sense the world around us. Sometimes we don't remember that energy can be placed in these inanimate objects. And there are negative entities that are kind of banking on that you don't realize, because it's a lot easier to believe that the problem is you. And once they are discovered, then, you know, they no longer have the control. They can no longer siphon the energy. And they now have to go somewhere else, you know, because no negative energy wants to be figured out. They'll hide for as long as possible. And since the average person doesn't walk around with an EVP machine to detect energy, right, then it's a lot easier for people to, you know, keep these things around. You'll see people with large collections of dolls, I would say about 80 of them, and I could almost guarantee like 40 of them, half of them are haunted, okay? Not because, you know, it's part of this episode. No, it's really because secondhand stuff, intention, how old it is. You know, someone who could have touched it once and just got really emotionally attached to it, you know, and then brought it to life. You know, the attention that they gave it, maybe gave it a name and didn't tell anybody. And now it is, you know, one of the dolls is Lucy forever because that's the only name it was ever given. So now it's touched and has come to life in some way. Now it's going to be trying to feed off of energy to continue that life, to continue in that doll or that entity, however you want to say it. But check out the sources that I have listed here. Check out our haunted dolls on the website. Again, this is Christina. One last thing I wanted to touch on is the Island of Dolls. A lot of people haven't heard about it. It was created by Don Julius Opus, also known as Don Julian Santana Barrera, a native of Mexico. Don left his wife and family sometime in the mid-20th century to sequester himself on an island on, excuse me if I say it wrong, Toshio Lake. His reasons for doing so are hazy at best, but as soon became clear, Santana was not necessarily of sound mind. Not long after relocating, he made a chilling discovery on the shores of his island. The body of a young girl drowned in the lake. A doll came floating down the canal shortly afterwards, changing the course of Santana Barrera's life and the shape of the island for years to come. Alone on the island, Barrera took the doll and hung it from a tree in order to appease the spirit of the deceased girl. But at least in the eyes of the man who now considered himself the island's caretaker, the one doll was not enough. For the next 50 years, Santana Barrera would scrounge dolls from the trash and from the canals and hang them from the island, island's many trees. Some he hanged whole, others in various states of disrepair, headless, torsoless, or taken apart in other ways. These don't sound like the actions of a person with a healthy grasp on reality, and indeed there are many doubts surrounding this legend. The biggest question, the reality of the little girl who died. Many people, including Don, his own family, didn't believe that he ever found the girl, although whether they believe he made it up, imagined the experience, or was somehow mistaken is unclear. What is clear is that whether the girl existed or not, Don Julian devoted the rest of his life to her. And perhaps creepiest of all, even the end of his life had clear ties to the story of the drowned child. In 2001, Don Julian Santana Barrera passed away. His body was discovered, you guessed it, drowned in the canal, in the exact same place he had always said he'd seen the little girl. In response, tourists began flocking to the island to pay tribute. They brought dolls of their own, and to this day, people honor both Santana Barrera and the girl by hanging up dolls in tribute. You can do so too, because many fairies stop here, making it a macabre must-see on any tour to these ancient Aztec canals. So I've linked it in the caption below. Tell me how you feel about this. Have you heard of the Island of Dolls? Just something extra to throw out there for this episode. Just wanted to see how much of the folklore, how deep it goes in regards to dolls. Do you believe these dolls are haunted? Are there spirits and entities that live that made him do this? You know, did the spirit of that little girl possess him? What are your thoughts? Just would like to know what you think about that. So again, I'm Christina with Karma's Eye Psychic LLC here on Universal Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode about haunted dolls and the island of dolls and the spiritual meaning of the paranormal life of dolls. I wonder if you'll look at dolls the same way after this. Let me know in the comments. All right, lovies. See you later.